Good morning, church. I think Frederick is right. Some of you are still sleeping. sorry, Frederick. You know, he told me that there will be a choir, and after that, only I speak. So I was so eager to speak. And then just now he told me I have to finish only by, you know, 10:40. So I hardly have time to speak. But not to worry. Normally, short pastors give short sermons. Your Pastor John Kok is the exception. He's tall, but he also give KISS sermon. Keep it short and sweet. It's always a pleasure to come back to KL Baptist. That brings back lots of sweet memories for me. I spent 20 years, more than 20 years, over years of my life here. You know, I was baptized in 1959. Not many of you were even born then. So next year will be my 60th anniversary as a baptized Christian in KL Baptist Church. You know, really praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And if you are here, I doubt, you know, I'm sure less than 10% of the people here knows me, because I left in 1981, 30 over years ago. Just to prove me right, how many of you were here before 1981? Anyone? Yeah, hardly. Praise God, you're still alive. May God bless you with long life and good health all the days of your life. I think that's very important. Actually, KL Baptist Church, if you are here after 1981, praise the Lord, because I tell you, KL Baptist Church is a great church. Indeed, it's a great church, you know. He has produced a lot of pastors, and amazing pastors. You know, in May, you know, that was the first time I hear Pastor John Kok preach in Cantonese. You know, he's totally masale, English educated. You know, by all these years, he learned and he preached amazingly, very well Cantonese in Seremban Baptist Church when we ordained the pastor there. And apart from him, you know, but he's English educated. So am I, you know. I'll be preaching in the Cantonese surveys. And also, you remember those of you who are, you know, back then, remember now is Reverend Dr. Yap Fok Sing, Victor Yap. He is also totally English. But now he writes in Chinese, you know, in Hong Kong, writes in Chinese, get his books are published. And I say, how come, you know, folks, how come you write in Chinese? When you left the time, you know only a few words in Chinese. You say, I write in English, then I Google it, translate for me, then I just correct the thing. But still, you know, it's amazing. He can do that. And then, of course, my half-brother, now is a professor, Dr. Wong Fok Kong, teaching in Hong Kong Baptist Theological Seminary. Also, he preaches in Cantonese. He's a totally English educator, graduated Divinity School in Harvard, you know. And of course, we have the one that grew up with me, Reverend Dr. Patrick Tang, you know, who was pastoring here for a few years. He actually was the one who got me and a few of you to Dallas to study on a tuition scholarship. He's even much, much better. He can preach in English, Mandarin, and Cantonese. And if you hear him preach, you never know. You know, actually, he's Chinese educated, but you never know, you know, what was his first language. Three of them was his first language. He can preach amazingly well. And I'm sure there are other also pastors, you know, after that, you have produced a lot of pastors. So thank God. I'm sure God will raise up, you know, more people. Maybe the most illustrious will be Pastor John Kok, you know, tore down, you know, this old building where we had the badminton court there, you know, and then built up this amazing place, you know, and truly, you know, God, you know who to use, you know, and you really have to thank God for using Pastor John Kok. And he's also very gifted in getting people to come to, you know, KL Baptist. Because you may not know, 40% of the Baptist churches have no pastors. You know, that's why even I want to retire, I cannot retire, you know. Because the people always get me to speak. And I've retired for 4 years from full-time pastoring a church. You know, but every Sunday I get invited to preach, you know, as far as Penang, Ipoh, and then of course KL, and then Seremban and Malacca. I'm still in Malacca. So, you know, but at the end of I've been in Malacca for 20 years already, exactly 20 years. You know, pastor a church there. And somehow the Lord is leading me back to KL at the end of this year. You know, me and my family are moving back to KL because me and my wife, you know, are born in KL, you know, bred in KL, you know, so it's good for us to come back to KL after 20 years. So pray for us. One prayer item is, you know, we have not sold our house in Malacca. We need to sell that house there. We bought a house there, you know, and stay there. But, you know, we have asked a lot of people to pray for us. Malacca is not easy to sell houses. You know, maybe KL is much easier. So pray for us that we will sell our house here. You know, otherwise we have no money to buy the house here. You know, here the houses are amazing. 1.5 million, 1.2 million, cheapest one. Single-story terrace, I was told, is 750,000. All I want to sell my house is only 600,000. Still nobody wants it. Poor thing, you know. So pray for us that we're able to sell our house, you know, in Malacca. And some of you have visited my house, say, hey, if your house in KL, easily $2 million. You know, easily $2 million. It's a corner house, you know, with 4,002 square feet, double story, every extended. So far, not even one person want to come and see, you know. Don't talk about selling first. So pray for us. At least people come and have a low, and then yeah, we can bargain the price a little bit. So pray for us. And some churches who heard that I'm coming back to KL really contacted me and said, Pastor, can you come and pastor our church? Hey, I really retired for 4 years already, you know. Hey, don't talk about retire. Dr. Mahathir, 90-something years, you know. Still full-time working, you 70. I'm 74, for your information. You're 74 already, talk about retiring, cannot retire. Because our PM is 90-something still, you see. Wow, so vibrant, you know. But he's the PM, you know, I'm only a pastor, you know. So pray, you know, that how God will lead us as we come back here to KL. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father God, indeed, we want to thank you this morning for bringing your people here to worship you. We know a lot of them are outstation for holiday and to visit their family members. We pray also for Pastor John Cole and the group who are in Israel, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will keep them safe and bring them back safely here. Continue to bless this church, Lord, so that they will do greater things for you. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My topic this morning is forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. There's one favorite sermon of mine. It is, you know, that as a Christian, you know, we have three directions. I was with the Pantai Baptist Church, their Caris group, senior citizens. We just came back yesterday. So I was sharing with them how to finish strong, you know, because many of them are 70 plus already. How to finish strong. And I said, we need to, one important thing in our life, the Bible tells us, is to, you know, live our life more and more like Christ. You know, and even as you come to the end, you know, almost to the end, how do we finish strong? You know, I said there are three areas you need to look into. Not only for those who are finishing strong, but even for us as young Christians. We have three directions. One, it is upward towards God. You remember the greatest command? One lawyer trying to test our Lord Jesus asked him, which is the greatest commandment? Of course, there are 600 over commandments, you know, and statutes in the Old Testament. And Jesus says, love the Lord with all your heart, all your strength, you know, with everything that you have and all your might. You know, and also, you know, love your neighbor as thyself. So the first thing it is towards God. As a Christian, you must put God first in your life. Yes, put God first in your life. You know, what I told them is if you put God first in your life, there's no need for us to encourage you to come here for service early. No need for us to ask you to give towards this great building which many of you have given. No need for us to use our spiritual gifts to serve the Lord. If God is truly first in your life, you know, truly you will do the best for God. So that is, you know, the priority, you know, the greatest command. Secondly is the new command. Remember Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34, 35? This is a new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, you love one another. And when the people see that when you love one another, they will know that you are my disciples. So loving one another is so important. It's a testimony. You know, there's so many fightings in churches. Truly sad. Big churches have big fights. Small churches have big fights, small fights, you know. Our church have a lot of disunity. But Jesus' command, the new command, is for us to love one another. And then, of course, we have the Great Commission, you know, that, you know, which our church is doing, Life is Mission, you know, by, I think this one is by Pastor John Cheng from Singapore, give us this Life is Mission, that we need to reach out and amazingly thank God. Care Baptist Church, as I look at your program, your mission, your mission conference every year, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's 30 over years already. 30 over years already. Actually, I was sent to Dallas Theological Seminary after the first mission conference in 1981. That was the first mission conference. And the amount raised, targeted, was 60,000 at that time, 60,000. You know, and they spent, I think, at least 20,000 to send me to Dallas to study. You know, so I need to thank Care Baptist Church, you know. But thank God, your money is not wasted. I've been serving the Lord for 30 over years, you know. You have not wasted your money, you know. And so we reach out, you know. So, but to do these three things, especially to love one another, this is my topic. Sometimes we cannot love one another because we cannot forgive one another. I always say, how can, you know, we members love one another if we hold grudges in our heart? We cannot forgive. There's disunity in the church also because of unforgiveness. And so this morning, we want to look at this parable that our Lord tell us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Yeah, verse 21. I'll read it for you. I think many of you are very familiar, but anyway, he says, you know, at first, you know, in verse 15, you know, talking about a brother who sins against another, you know, and then he said, then Peter, you know, came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then Jesus told this parable of the unmerciful servant. You see, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servants fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he says, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your hearts. The first thing this parable came to my mind, it is, you know, we need to forgive one another because we have been forgiven. Simple as that, you know. We need to forgive one another because we have been forgiven. If you look at this parable, you know, in the beginning, verse 15, he says, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. And now here Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Peter is very presumptuous, just like all of us. In any dispute, it is the other guy who has sinned against me. Not me. I'm the innocent party. He is the one who talked bad about me. You see, we are always very presumptuous that we are sinless. We are not the bad guy. It is always the other person, you know, he sins against us. So here, you know, Peter is asking Jesus, how many times? Up to 7 times? What? You know, he was waiting for Jesus to praise him, you know, because according to the Old Testament, you know, to the laws of Moses, to the rabbi's teaching, you only forgive a person 3 times. So now he had double that plus 1 more time. He was waiting for Jesus to say, hey, great guy, man, Peter, you followed me for 3 years. Now you have learned forgiveness. But what did Jesus say? No, not 7 times, not 3 times, but 77 times. 70 times 7, 70 times 7 is 490 times. Now, of course, what Jesus is telling him is not to count how many times you forgive a person. You know, if you have a person who has no sins against you, you're not going to tell him, now this is already 480 times. 10 more times you sin against me, I'm going to whack you on the head. No. What Jesus is saying, continue to forgive. And even if you're forgiven so many times, sometimes you keep records, you know. But after a few hundred, you know, who's going to keep the record how many times you're going to that person is sinned against you? I'm sure a husband and wife, we know. Sometimes we make our wife angry. Sometimes, our husband make the wife angry. The wife make the husband angry. We are not going to count. Thank God we are still together. You know, I've been married with my wife almost 30 years. Sometimes people ask, you pastor got quarrel one. You think what? Sure got quarrel lah. You think pastor don't quarrel with wife? You think we are sinners? Yes, or if we are honest, of course. But thank God never fight lah. Quarrel, sure God. We are only human beings. You know? But we sometimes make our wife angry, our wife make us angry, but we continue to forgive. We are still together. It is when we cannot forgive when we have to say bye-bye. You see, forgiveness is so important in our life. So here Peter is saying, you know, Jesus is telling this parable. He says this guy owe his master 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, some scholars have worked it out to today's amount is 36 million. It's a huge sum of money, 36 million. And his fellow servant owe him how much? 100 denarii. According to calculation, is only 60 ringgit. You see the contrast or not? You see that the huge difference, 36 million and 60 ringgit, you know. When you look at this parable and you say, what is this unmerciful servant? How can somebody be like that? Is it human or not? I mean, if somebody forgive me $10,000, if my friend owe me 60, what is that 60 ringgit? You know, people have already forgiven me a few hundred ringgit. But this 36 million is such a huge sum. And then you ask, my second question is, why did Jesus tell a parable with such a huge contrast? 36 million and 60 ringgit, can't compare. I'm not good in maths. I always fail my maths. You can see the percentage. I don't know how much percent. 60% against 36 million. I don't know 0.000 how much percent. Why did Jesus tell a parable with such a... Of course, when our Lord do something, there must be a purpose. You see, when I first read this parable, I was thinking, I won't be like that. I'd be very generous, you know. I would say, no need to pay. Maybe I give him another $100. Don't forget about the 60 ringgit. I give him another $60. No, another $100. I would be saying like that. But then suddenly the Holy Spirit told me, aren't you like that? Aren't you like this unmerciful servant? I was trying to be, you know, very generous. I won't be like that. The Holy Spirit say, you know, how many times have the Lord forgiven us? From the time we were born until we became a Christian. And after being Christian, we continue to sin, isn't it? How many of you have become a Christian ever since? Thank God you are honest. Dare not put up your hand. Including me, I also dare not put up my hand. Of course, we continue to sin until the Lord takes us home. And yet, the Lord is going to forgive us umpteen times. Until we go back to the Lord. And yet, sometimes in the church, If one person sin against us, say something bad against us just once, we cannot forgive. Aren't we like this unmerciful servant? That's why the Holy Spirit is saying, you're no better. Pastor Song, you're no better. You're just like this guy. That's why our Lord gave that contrast. The Lord has forgiven us umpteen times, so many times. And yet sometimes in a church, that's why there's disunity. Somebody says something against you, intentionally or unintentionally. I always say a Christian should never say something intentionally to hurt another brother or a Christian. Never. If you are a Christian, unintentionally, yes, sometimes we say things that hurt people. Oh, that's forgivable. Because not intended. Some people are very, very, very sensitive. That one we cannot say anything. Sometimes very people talking about, hey, you're talking about me. No, actually you're not talking about him, but they're very sensitive. There are people always like that. That are unintentional. But as a Christian, you should never, never say or do something intentionally to hurt another brother or even a non-Christian. Never. And if you do that, I will question your spirituality, your walk with the Lord. You know, I used to say I question your salvation. Now I dare not say, because that is God's jurisdiction. Whether you are saved or not, that is not for me to judge. But I will definitely question your walk with the Lord, your spirituality, your maturity. If a person in a church, if it's a Christian, continuously say things to hurt, you know, the leaders of the church, the pastor's family, you know, beware of such a person. He is not spiritual. You don't have to even to listen to him. And God have mercy on us. We have Christians like that in churches, purposely saying things, doing things to hurt the leadership, to hurt the pastor, to hurt the leaders of the church, and to hurt one another. Just now Frederick said, I think I pastor 6 churches, you know, in all these 30 over years. There are Christians like that in every church. May God have mercy on them. May really, really truly the Holy Spirit speak to them. You know, we cannot continue to hurt our own brothers and sisters. That is the new command, isn't it? To love one another. But because you cannot forgive, you keep on hurting people. You know, so the first thing it is, you know, we need to forgive because God has forgiven us. That is the first point. Secondly, why did Jesus ask us to forgive one another? Because forgiving one another, secondly, is good for you. Have you ever... I don't want to use the word hate. Have you ever hate or dislike somebody? All of us have. Even for me, pastors, I have. I've disliked people who always say things I never say, say things I never do, you know, shoot me behind my back. I always say, pastor, for 37 years, I have so many holes, me, you know, you can pour water and all the water will go through. There's so many holes. You shoot here, there, everywhere. Sometimes they shoot in front also, you know, not necessarily at the back. As a pastor, you know, they were shoot. But then you need to forgive. You know, forgiveness is good for you. You know, if you ever hold a grudge or somebody that you don't like, when people praise that person, you feel nice? No. When he moved from a terrace house to a bungalow house, you feel nice? You say, God, why is this God blessing him? He has a swimming pool, warm swimming pool, and he just changed his car, you know, buy an expensive car, Lexus or something like that, and they're living in this old expensive place. I'm still renting a room. I'm still pushing my country 3 times a week, Lord. What is this? It's not fair. You know? How can you be blessing this guy, you know? He has said so many bad things about me. Every time God bless him, every time people say something good about him, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. How many times can you hurt yourself? So you see, forgiveness is good for you. Recently, there's a newspaper, you know, article regarding a doctor, 60 over years, you know, in Star. He said, you know, his wife said, this husband of mine, always remember when they were in primary school, there were 2 girls there, you know. There were 2 girls there that they always bully these 2 girls. For whatever reason. The whole class bullied them. You know? when they pass by, everybody stand by the side. Seems like they have leprosy or something like that. They're not to touch them, you know. And when accidentally they touch these two girls, they will go and wash their hands, you know. And this doctor now, 70 years old, said, I was one of them. He says to this day, now he's, you know, he's become a doctor. He's, you know, he's doing inner healing. And he says, God speak to him. How I don't know why we did that to these two ladies, you know. Up to now, I don't know why we do that. But every time I think of it, I cry. I hope I can find these two ladies and apologize to them. You see, that's why I say, you know, forgiveness is good for him. He cannot forgive himself all these years. Probably these two sisters have died already, but he has been holding for how many years? Primary school now is 70, 60, over 70 years, you know. He has been holding this and he told his wife, every time he told it to his wife. And the wife Google, thank God for Facebook, and found these two ladies still alive. And this wife told the two ladies, you know, my husband want to apologize to you of all the hurts that they have caused you when you were, you know, in primary school. And here the picture of the two ladies meeting this man, you know, and they have a marvelous time together. And he said he's so relieved after that. You see, brothers and sisters, when we hurt somebody, you know, it is good for us to say sorry. You know, for this doctor, you know, I think he will die a very happy man, you know, because he hurts these two ladies and he's able to find them and say sorry to them, what he did to them so many years ago. And so forgiveness is good for you. You know, forgiveness is good for you. Somebody have said, unforgiveness is the poison we take hoping others would die. That is unforgiveness. There's a hurt in your heart. You know, unforgiveness, you know, is the poison we take hoping others would die. Who is going to die? Not the one who, you know, change houses, buy car. You are the one who is going to die. Because every time people talk about him, every time God bless him, you are going to be hurt. So we need to forgive. We need to forgive. And the third point is, you know, we need to also ask forgiveness from those whom we have hurt. We should never be so presumptuous like Peter, you know. How many times I forgive if my brother have sins against us? I'm sure all of us, including myself, you know, we have hurt people. Like I say just now, hopefully unconsciously. If we know we have hurt people and you hear that this person, you know, says something against you, go and say sorry. Is it so difficult to say sorry? Sometimes it's so difficult. Ask for forgiveness. Yeah, we need to forgive people who have sinned against us. But we also need to be forgiven. Sometimes people say, you know, peace treaty or peace, no peace talk cannot be fruitful because everybody goes to a peace conference, you know, willing to forgive, very generous, but never to be forgiven. We need to ask for forgiveness from people that we have hurt. And all of us have hurt people. All of us hurt people. So may God, you know, from this parable teach us, we need to also ask for forgiveness from people we have hurt. You know, for people whom we have unconsciously or, you know, in your spiritual witness may have hurt them consciously. And if you know, go ahead and ask. Just now, you know, remember, here we says that, you know, Jesus said in chapter 5 of Matthew, he says when you're offering your gifts, you know, go to the temple and then suddenly remember your brother has something against you. Again, you're not the wrongdoer. If your brother has something against you, go. Put all those things you offer to God, put it down and go and reconcile with them. Then only come and offer your gift. What Jesus is saying to them is, even if you offer, you know that somebody has something against you, not you again, you are not the wrongdoer. Even if you offer those gifts, it is not accepted. And I would say, all of us here, you know, we come to worship God. It's the same thing now, 2,000 years down the road. We come and worship God every Sunday. If there's hatred in your heart against somebody, or you know there's a brother sitting next to you or at the behind, you know, who has something against you, your worship is not accepted. This is what Jesus is saying, not Pastor Song. Go and reconcile first. Then come and worship me. Otherwise, it will be empty. Because we don't obey what Jesus is telling us. We don't obey what God is trying to tell us. Make good, reconcile first, then come and worship me. Otherwise, it's wasted. You only attended the service, in my preaching about worship, worship is always a response. You know, that's why some people have worshiped God 20, 30 years, you know, like myself, almost 60 years, you know, but no change in their lives. Why? Because you have not worshiped. Worship is always a response. You have come to listen so many times to the Lord. Is there ever a response from you? You come today, you know, now talking about forgiveness, and if you know that somebody needs to be forgiven, or you need to forgive people, you get out of here. Not done anything. God, I hope God speaks to you. Find somebody, you know, that you need to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. And that is the response. If you have not responded, I tell you, you only attended KLBC's worship service. You have not come to worship God. Worship always wants a response. That's why there's so many spiritual children in the churches. That's why churches have so many problems. People can worship for umpteen years, but no change in their lives. No. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We need to ask God to forgive us. So forgiveness is so important. So brothers and sisters, you know, I don't use PowerPoint because, you know, I'm the, I'm the old guy. I don't know how to use that. So my sermon is only 3-point sermon, very easy to remember. No need to put up there for you. and distract you. So my first point is, you know, we need to forgive because God has forgiven us. Second point is, you know, forgiveness is good for you. Not so much for the person you're going to forgive, because he doesn't care. He's enjoying his life. Whether you forgive him or not, he's going to enjoy. But it's good for you. And the third point is, you know, we need to ask to ask for forgiveness from people who have hurt us. There was one time, you know, some years ago, I was pastoring a church here, and every Wednesday morning, I will go to a drug rehab center, you know, to help. To have a devotion with them. I think it's Morning Glory, if I remember correctly. And I was one time I was there. One of the members, you know, came and speak to me. He said, "Pastor, can you pray for me?" I said, "Why?" He says, "You know, I have been a bad father and I have been a bad husband. I know I've divorced now. I was a band boy in Ipoh." You know, so you know, like band boy, you know, we take drugs, we womanize, we do all sorts of things. Never at home. When I get drunk, go back, I will beat my wife, you know, and then I also beat my only daughter, you know. And sometimes I feel guilty, and one time, you know, Chinese New Year, I give my daughter, you know, $100 ang pao. My daughter took the ang pao, you know, take out the $100, tear the $100 and throw it back in my face. "Father, I don't want your money." He says, "Pray for me. Now I want to write a letter to ask my daughter to forgive me. I've been a bad father. But now the Lord has touched my life. I write a letter and ask my daughter to forgive me. Pastor, pray for me that my daughter will forgive me for the wrongs that I've done. I pray for this brother." You know, 2 weeks later, you know, as I went there, went into the rehab center, this brother was coming up, hugged me and cry. I thought, I don't know why he was crying, but I also cried with him now, of course, you know. The Bible says, "Mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who..." I don't know why he was crying, but, you know, I cried. I said, what happened? I thought the daughter died, you know. What happened? He says, Pastor, God is so amazing, really amazing. He says, "My daughter became a Christian. You know, one of my relatives, you know, took my daughter to church, you know, and my daughter believed in the Lord, and my daughter wrote a letter, asked me to forgive her. and our letter crisscross. How amazing God's love is. My daughter didn't know I become a Christian, that I sent the letter to her, and I didn't know, she didn't know, and I didn't know, and she wrote a letter and asked me for forgive. And our letters crisscross. When I received the letter, I just cannot stop but cry. It was amazing. You see how forgiveness can bring a father and a daughter together? How forgiveness, and it is true, that this father asked daughter that she has wronged so many years ago to forgive. And the same thing the daughter said, Daddy, forgive me. Because I am a believer now. I also have not been a good daughter. None of us are good enough as parents. None of us are good enough, as children. And we need each other's forgiveness. So forgiveness has bring this father and daughter together. And it's so amazing how God works in our lives. There was this John in prison for 3 years, and he was about to come out of the prison, and he wrote to his girlfriend, Mary. He says, Mary, I don't know, I'm coming out from prison, and I don't know whether you're going to forgive me or not. But if you forgive me, I'm going to take a bus and pass by, your town. And if you forgive me, Mary, tie a yellow ribbon in that old oak tree. and when I see that ribbon, I will know that you have forgiven me and I will come down from the bus and we will start all over again. And if I don't see that ribbon on the tree, I will just stay on the bus. I will just go on my way. When they were about to near that place, John said, told the bus driver, please look for me. After 3 years in prison, I don't see things very clearly already. Please, one single ribbon, maybe one yellow leaf fluttering, and then, please look for me. The bus driver said, hey, friend, I'm driving, you want to die. No, I can't look for you. The whole bus, so they told all the bus, everybody, 40 of you, look for this yellow ribbon, on the old oak tree, If you see it, tell John so that John can go down. John closed his eyes, must have prayed very hard too, for that one single yellow ribbon on the old tree. And then suddenly the whole bus was shouting, why not only one yellow ribbon? 100 ribbon, yellow ribbon. Mary was also really scared that John was blur, cannot see that one yellow ribbon. So he tied 100 yellow ribbon on the old oak tree. See forgiveness? One willing to ask for forgiveness, one willing to forgive. I hope they will invite us to their wedding. So amazing forgiveness is. Forgiveness is always very powerful in our life. And all of us need to ask for forgiveness. All of us need to be forgiven. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this parable you have told so many years ago. Truly, Father, we want to thank you for forgiving us of our multiple sins that we have committed before we became a Christian and even after we have become a Christian. Lord, we need you to forgive us. And pray, Lord, that you give us this grace in our hearts to forgive those who have hurt us. And also the humility to ask for forgiveness from those we have hurt. And we know, Lord, this is your heart's desire, that we forgive each other from our hearts and thereby draw ourselves closer to you. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.